Welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This morning, Reverend David Bonema explores judgment. What did Jesus say about judgment? And how can judgment be a good thing for you and for me? Let's listen.
I don't know what summer jobs you guys have had, but I used to work at an amusement park in Washington State during the summers in high school. And I had probably the worst job in the whole park. You see, I had to work in the candy store. And you might say, David, why was that the worst job? You're a high schooler. You get to be around candy all the time. That sounds like a pretty good gig. But it was the worst job because it was the only candy store in the entire park, which meant that it was one of the busiest places in the entire park. It was just nonstop kids and middle schoolers running around, and I was on the cash register, and it was felt kind of stressful to get through that each and every day. Well, one day, I'm at the cash register, and I notice this boy walk in, probably about a sixth grade boy or so, and he comes in and he just starts staring at the candy bars. Now, that was unusual. Because normally, if a sixth grade boy gets a little bit of cash, they know exactly what they want. And so they come in the store, they purchase the candy, they consume it immediately. It's a very quick thing. So it was odd to see the sixth grade boy come in and stare at the candy bars. And then he does one of these, and he starts looking around the store. And so I immediately look down, avert my eyes, so he doesn't see me staring at him. But I think, I'm on to him. Something's going on here. Well, he does one of those. He looks around the store and then looks back at the candy, and then it happened. He takes two large armfuls of king-size candy bars and then starts sprinting out of the candy shop. I thought, all right, my day just got more exciting. So I slammed the cash register shut and just took off after him, chasing this person out of the candy shop. What he didn't realize is that you can't run very fast when you've got two arms full of candy. And so he's kind of hobbling along, and I'm thinking, I'm going to be a hero. This is going to be so fun. And I'm just sprinting after him, thinking, this is just great. You know, this has sparked my day. He sees me coming, and he takes a quick dash behind a ride. And so I run around, and I come around the ride and look at him. And he's sitting there on the ground and just stuffing his face as quickly as he can with the candy. It was very odd to me. Because one, you can't really savor it if you're just putting it in your mouth as fast as you can. And two, I kept wondering, how did he think he wouldn't get caught? I mean, you're very obvious if you've got two arms full of candy and you're running out of the candy store. And so I just kept wondering, why would he do this? And we're going to get to that in a minute. But first, I want to welcome you and say that we're in the final week of this series. This Cut It Out series that you guys voted for, where we're cutting out fear, doubt, and tonight, or today, we're cutting judgment from our lot. But I want to start by saying that not all judgment is bad. I mean, we want to be a good judge of character. We want to judge between right and wrong. And that's why I brought up this illustration of this boy stealing candy. Is universally in this room and in this country, all of us would say, oh yeah, I judge that to be wrong. And that's a good thing. We want to judge well. We want to be good and wise judges in our lives. And so there is a point where judging and judgment is a good thing. I even think in our legal system, you want judges. You want people who can issue fair rulings and keep some sort of sense of justice in the world. And so there is a sense where judgment is needed and judgment is a good thing. And yet, the Bible talks often about removing judgment from your lives. And so what we need to figure out is what type of judgment is the Bible talking about removing from our lives? And so to begin that exploration, we're going to, in this sermon, study two types of judgment. But the first one comes from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And this is Jesus' words about judgment. It begins in this way. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Okay, so Jesus is beginning by talking about this particular type of judgment. And he's making it clear that this particular type of judgment you do not want in your life. Because if you judge in this way, that same way that you judge can be measured against you. And so I'm reading this going, okay, Jesus, you have my attention. You have my attention. What type of judging are you really talking about here? Because it's clear that I don't want this as a part of my life. Well, Jesus introduces this topic, and then very quickly in the next verse goes to an illustration of what this sort of judgment looks like, the type of judgment we don't want in our lives. He goes on in verse 3. He says, "Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." Okay, so now it's becoming a little bit more clear about what type of judgment Jesus is talking about, isn't it? When we hold other people to a standard that we are not willing to hold ourselves to, when we de facto become the judge of others, Jesus is saying that is the type of judgment that has no place in our lives. When we walk around and we become highly critical of other people, and then we have a big blind spot on our own shortcomings, our own weaknesses, that's the sort of judgment where Jesus says, that is so ridiculous, it looks like you've got a tree in your own eye, and you're there looking for specks in other people's eyes. That's the sort of judgment that has no place in our lives. In fact, I tend to think of it like you're walking around almost with a magnifying glass, and you're just looking at people's lives. So let me get really up close and see what's not going well. Where are your shortcomings? I want to take a look at that. And it's almost like we look at people's lives and we put them under the magnifying glass. Well, Jesus would use a different analogy. Jesus would say, no, look at other people's lives through a mirror and recognize your own shortcomings first. Recognize the areas where maybe you have weaknesses, the logs in your own eye, because when you do that, it makes you recognize we're all in the same boat. You're really not that bad. I'm really not that good. We are all in the same boat here. We are all beautiful creations of God. We are all sinners in need of God's redeeming. That is who we all are as a community. And so that then takes us out of that judgment role where I don't need to judge my neighbor because I'm really pretty similar to my neighbor. In fact, I heard one pastor say, and we'll get this on the screen, the more conscious I am of the work God has yet to do in me, the less critical I am of what God has yet to do in you. So Jesus is encouraging us with this statement to simply be aware of our own shortcomings, aware of our own weaknesses, and so then we can really relate to one another and not judge other people for their weaknesses and shortcomings. Now, when you do that, and when you're really aware of your own baggage, that should lead you to something. And I would argue this, and we'll get this on the screen too, that being aware of our shortcomings should lead us to humbleness. Because it makes us all realize, okay, we're in this together. Nobody's perfect. And so why judge one another? Let's simply do the best we can, encouraging one another in a humble spirit. I really think being aware, looking at that mirror, makes us all in a place of humbleness. But we need to be careful there, don't we? Because what can happen is that when you look at your own shortcomings, and when you recognize your own failings, you can then turn that into self-judgment. And Jesus would not want that either. Jesus would not want you to be then highly critical of yourself and not turn that judgment that you had on other people totally inward. And I'm sure you can recognize how that happens too. It's that voice in the back of your head, right, that says, you can't do that. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. It's that voice that then becomes a self-judgment on you. Well, I would argue that that falls into the category as well of Jesus saying, do not judge. We don't judge one another, but we don't judge ourselves either. We offer ourselves grace and humility when we recognize we're all in the same boat. So that's one major way that the Bible speaks about judgment. And really, it removes ourselves of the role of judge. But that's not the only way that the Bible speaks about judgment. I want to explore one other area. Because we remove ourselves as judge, but we still recognize, like we started this sermon with, is that there's some sort of judgment that is needed in the world. We need to be able to judge between right and wrong. Some level of judgment is necessary. And how the Bible then talks about this is saying, yes, and that's not you or I that does that judgment, but that judgment belongs to God. And the Bible then places God in the role of judge. And so what I'd like to do is explore now two scriptures that speak about God as judge. And it begins in this way, in Romans chapter 14, and these are Paul's words, and he says this, "You then, why do you judge your brother or your sister?" That sounds very reminiscent to what Jesus just said. "Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another." So what Paul's saying is that judgment is still a real thing, that all of us someday will give an account before God when God is on that judgment seat. But his conclusion then is he's saying, therefore, we don't judge one another, right? We're not the proper judge of the universe, but there is a judge in the universe, and that judge is God. He echoes this once more in 2 Corinthians 5:10, when Paul says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done, while in the body, whether good or bad." Now let's just put it out there. Judgment is not fun to talk about. I mean, we would much prefer just to skim by these sections of Scripture and say, oh, let's get to the grace. Let's get to the really good, feel-good stuff in the Bible. We don't like talking about judgment. I mean, it's hard enough to say, yeah, I can't judge one another. But then to think about God judging us, that's a difficult topic to think about. And I know for many people, in the conversations that I've had, it makes them think that God is some sort of angry or vengeful God, that that's the sort of judge that God is. But I want to make the case this morning that God's judgment is actually very good news. And here's why, and we'll get this on the screen too, because I really want you to see this. God as judge means that our world will not always be as broken as it currently is. And in fact, I think one way to think about judgment is like justice. That's a word that we see Scripture use as well when talking about judgment. It's justice. It's God willing to bring justice to places of injustice in our world. That is God's judgment. It's God being willing to bring healing to the broken parts of our world. That is God's judgment. And we can all see our world and recognize the need for that. Where God is not willing to simply let things be, God is going to come in with judgment, with justice, and make the world better someday. And so when we talk about it probably on a global level, we to some extent really get this and understand this and even desire this and say, yes, I want God to judge the world and bring justice to the world. That's a good thing. It becomes harder, though, when we look at just at ourselves, doesn't it? And say, well, what does that feel like, though, to be judged by God? And yet, I still believe that that is a good thing. Because just looking at me personally, there are things in my life that I don't want to go live on into eternity. And when I think of my own greed, when I think of my own pride, those are things that I don't want to live on into eternity. And so when I think of judgment, I recognize, yeah, I want God to judge those aspects of my life because those things don't have a place in becoming this whole, healthy creation of God that God wants me to be. And so there's a recognition there that sin is real, that there are places of my life that separate me from community and separate me from God. And that that's actually a good thing, that God sees that and God has a plan for that. Where we get, though, misguided is, I think, how we think about judgment and even how we think about sin. In fact, how you understand sin affects profoundly how you understand judgment. And I've heard two very common ways for people to understand sin and talk about sin. I want to go through those briefly. The first way that I've seen this talked about, and we'll get this on the screen, it's sin as crime. And you hear people almost talk about sin as the bad things that you do, and then God as judge. What do you do? What does a good judge do with a crime? They bring punishment, right? And so that's how we think of God as judge. We think, well, I've done something wrong, and so God is going to come and bring punishment towards me. And if that's your view of God, then no wonder God as judge is so scary. No wonder that seems like God is an angry, vengeful God. But I want to offer an alternative way to look at sin. And it's a way that I believe is actually more biblical. And we'll get this on the screen too. It's sin as sickness. It's this recognition that we are all infected with this sin in our lives. And there's something in us that keeps us from being these whole, healthy people that God wants us to be. And so if God judges that sin, God comes in more like a doctor or a healer and wants to heal those sick and broken parts of us. And that is God's judgment. It's recognizing the places in our lives that are sick, and it's coming in to then bring healing and a place of repentance to those very same areas so that we can be whole. That, I believe, is what we talk about when we talk about God's judgment. In fact, a good analogy for this comes from Mark chapter 2. It says this, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." So you see what Jesus did there. He equates being a sinner with someone who is sick. And then he says, so what God's going to come do and why Jesus came to earth was to come and heal those people. That truly is God's judgment. That is God's justice. John Calvin is the unofficial founder of our Presbyterian denomination. He wrote in the 15th century, and he picked up on this very same theme of judgment almost as healing, and he has a great quote that I want to share with you. He says this. He says, so isn't it wonderful that our judge is also our redeemer? Isn't that a fascinating thing? Where John Calvin looks at God and says, yes, God is judge, but that same God who judges the parts of our lives that we don't want in our lives also redeems us. And you can't separate those two things. You need both. You need God as judge, and you need God as redeemer. And to John Calvin, and I would argue for us, that's very good news. Now, too often we focus on one or the other. It's all judgment or all redemption. But these two things, well, they play with themselves together to really give us a full and adequate picture of who God is. In fact, this idea of judgment has been around since the earliest roots of Christianity. And so I want you to do me a favor. Will you take out your bulletin insert? Because you're going to see a picture there. And we'll get it on the screen as well. This picture, it's an icon. It was painted in the 6th century in St. Catherine's Monastery. So way, way, way long ago. And what you can do with this picture is if you cover up with your hand the left side of Jesus' face. Go ahead and do that. Cover up the left side of Jesus' face. How it was painted was that Jesus would then have very stern look and harsh attributes. And this idea was that that was depicting Jesus as judge. Now go ahead and cover up the right side of Jesus' face with your hand. When you do that, it was painted with much softer features. And if you notice, his hand then is up in the sign of blessing. And this was to depict Jesus as redeemer. What I love about that is all the way back in the 6th century, they were understanding Jesus as both judge and redeemer. That's something that we need to remind ourselves today as well. And so we go back to this board like we've done each week, and we can rightfully remove judgment from our lives. Because that is not our role. We do not want to judge one another because we have a judge and redeemer who is on that judgment seat, and that is very good news. And so when you remove the things like judgment and fear and doubt like we've done, what are you left with underneath? All of these good attributes, the fruits of the Spirit, the things that we want to grow and develop in as Christians. You've got things like goodness and generosity, friendship and peace, joy and belief. These are the things, when we remove things like judgment from our lives, that we can now grow into to be the people that God wants us to be. And so we are going to conclude this series by just this recognition that someday we will stand before God as judge, but that this is a good thing, because God as judge will bring justice and healing to a broken and hurting world. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.